Well, good evening. It certainly is a delight to be here with you all. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and I'll begin reading with verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the help you've already given in this service. I pray that you will continue to be with us. I ask that you will anoint me and give me the special touch that I need to preach your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So James was writing to his fellow Jewish Christians who were scattered abroad due to persecution so that they would know how to respond to trials God's way, just as God wants us to respond to trials His way. And this evening, I'd like to look at three aspects involved with trials. First, our response to trials. Second, the reason for trials. And third, the result of trials. So first, how do we respond to trials God's way? In verse 2, it says, My brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now, basically, divers temptations means various trials which will test our Christian character, our faith and trust in God. It could be testing our faith in God to provide the money we need to pay for our bills when we have no idea where our money is coming from, or when your car breaks down at the worst time that we think is possible, or perhaps it's the loss of a loved one. And maybe for some of those who have just finished school, it is one of those final exams that you had to take. If I asked how many enjoy taking tests, I probably wouldn't see too many hands. Most of us like waiting until the night before, and then we try cramming everything into our heads so that we can pass the test the next morning. However, trials that test our faith aren't like that. They can come at any time. We don't have time to sit down the night before and cram our minds full of the information needed to pass the test. But we can prepare ourselves now before they come, and we can ask for God's guidance as we go through each trial. Most of us don't like to take tests or face trials, especially pop quizzes, but they do serve a purpose, which we'll get to in a moment. But before we do, I want you to also notice in verse 2, it says, when, not if we fall into various temptations or trials. There is no way of avoiding them. We will all face trials here in this life. They may not be the same as the person sitting next to you, and you may feel that yours are always harder to deal with than everyone around you, and no one understands what you're going through. And some of these trials may only last a day, while others we may continually struggle with our whole life. But no matter the trial, we can respond to them God's way. And God's way, as verse 2 says, is to count it all joy. But how do we do that when we're in the midst of a trial? Hebrews 12:2 says, Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus was able to respond with joy, even though he suffered one of the most painful and disgraceful methods of punishment, crucifixion on the cross. He wasn't laughing or smiling while he endured this pain and suffering, but he counted it as joy. You see, joy in this sense isn't an emotion, but is rather a state of being. We don't walk around with a huge smile on our face, shouting, Yes, I'm in the middle of a trial. But we count it as joy, because shouting with happiness is more like happiness that comes and goes in a moment. But joy is rooted in the deep satisfaction or contentment that comes from achieving or seeing what is good from God's perspective. It's about keeping the right focus. The right focus is normally controlled by the questions we ask ourselves when facing a trial we don't understand, or we don't see a purpose in it. We typically whine. We say stuff like, Why me? Why this? Why now? Or why won't God answer my prayers? Instead of asking ourselves these questions, instead we should be asking ourselves six questions that would help us keep the right focus, and they are, what is God wishing to teach me in this situation? How can this situation make me more Christ-like in my thoughts, attitudes, and actions? What can I be thankful for in this situation? How can I show Christ to others in this situation? What would Jesus think about, meditate on, or say in this situation? And what would Jesus do? I've used these questions quite a few times in my own life, and if we ask ourselves these types of questions, it changes our focus from off of ourselves to looking at it from God's perspective. Jesus was able to keep the right focus when he was going through his trial, death on the cross, because he was satisfied in doing what God, his Father, wanted him to do. He knew that it was God's plan for our salvation. Now, there are many more examples found in the Bible of those who responded to trials with joy. There was Daniel in the lion's den. He had enough faith in God that he could deliver him from the lions. And Abraham had enough faith that he was able to willingly offer Isaac, his only son, as a sacrifice, whom his descendants were promised to be named after. Or David, when he was a little boy, and he had enough faith that God would deliver Goliath into his hands. They could have felt down, defeated, and discouraged, but instead, they responded with joy to the trials they faced. Jesus, just as we can respond to the trials we face with joy. So now that we looked at how we are to respond to trials with joy, let's look at the reason for our trials. God wants to try our faith to develop the Christ-like character of patience in our lives. This is found in verse 3 where it says, "Knowing this, that the trying of our faith worketh patience." In our culture today, we take patience to mean something like waiting in a long line at Walmart, waiting to get checked out. Or how many times as a kid we've heard, "Just be patient, we're almost there." Now, James wasn't talking about this kind of patience, but he was referring to endurance, or perseverance, the ability to deal with pain and suffering for a long period of time. It's kind of like a weightlifter who he knows he can't immediately start out by lifting 300 pounds, but as he builds endurance, he keeps adding more and more weight to lift it until he makes it to his goal. And then it's just kind of the same as long-distance runners. And I know there's a few here in our congregation that are preparing for a race, but they don't start out by running a marathon. They slowly start out and keep adding more and more distance as they build up the endurance required to run the race. The same applies to us when we face trials. God's intention for trials is to build us up, to strengthen us and make us more like Christ. He sends a little more our way each time, and if it wasn't for the trials we have previously overcame, then the ones we now face would seem insurmountable. As we trust God each step of the way, He will guide us through each and every trial we face, no matter how great or small they may seem. So how does God build us up through the trying of our faith? Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is a complete trust or confidence in someone. So when our faith is being tried, our trust in God is being tried. Hebrews 11, known as the faith chapter, is filled with examples of those who have put their faith and trust in God. Job is probably one of my favorites, and we were discussing him several weeks ago in Sunday school class, how he lost everything in the same day. You know, everything he owned, from his livestock, his servants, and even his own family. You know, just imagine if you were in his situation, what you would be thinking, or how you would react. And if you read the account, you will notice that even though he lost everything, he was still able to say, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." One of the hardest trials that I've had to face in my life, and probably many of us here, is when God took away Rod and Beth and their family. Those were some pretty dark times in my life, and at the time, I didn't look at it from God's perspective. I didn't think that God was all-wise, good, and sovereign. I didn't say, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away," like Job. But now, as I look back, I realize that God used it to test me, to try my faith in Him. Now, if we go back to my earlier statement about most of us not liking to take tests in school, the tests are given not only to show us what we do know, but what we don't know. They help us to show our areas of weakness so that we can strengthen them. And the same applies when God sends trials our way. He is sending them our way in order to show us our weakness so that we can strengthen our faith in that area, so that we can become stronger. And as a result, we develop the Christ-like character of perseverance, or patience, as the King James says. And now that we've looked at how we are to respond to trials with joy, the reason for our trials, and now lastly, let's look at the result of our trials. Verse 4 says, "But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." What James is saying here is that we are to let patience, or the endurance we build through trials, be used to mold us into the image of Christ, being perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Dr. David Osborne said, "Too often we try to use God to change our circumstances, while He is using our circumstances to change us. God is right now in the process of making us like Christ. It's like the process of refining maple syrup. Maple trees are tapped with buckets hung underneath to catch the sap as it drips out thin and clear like water. On a good day, 50 trees will yield 30 to 40 gallons of sap, but is essentially useless at this point, with only a hint of sweetness. As the buckets are filled, they are emptied into large bins that sit over an open fire. And then, as the sap comes up to a slow boil, its water content is reduced and its sugars are concentrated. Hours later, it has developed a rich flavor and golden brown color. But it must be strained several times to remove the impurities before being reheated, bottled, and then graded for quality. In the end, those 30 to 40 gallons of sap are reduced to 1 gallon of pure, delicious maple syrup, which is far better than the cheap imitations that we can buy at a grocery store. And so it is with our faith in Christ. We start like raw, unfinished sap, which could have been thrown out as worthless. But God, who is in charge of the refining process, knows He can make something special out of us. He sought us and found us, and is transforming us through our trials into something precious, sweet, and useful. The long and often painful refining process results in a pure, genuine disciple easily distinguished from cheap imitations. Unfortunately, not everyone responds to trials God's way. Some of us may falter in the midst of a trial, when the storms of life get rough and we fall overboard. But there is always hope. If you have stumbled, or if you've fallen, then God, the captain of the ship, is standing on the deck with the life raft, waiting to throw it out to us if we just place our faith and trust in Him. He can help us through each and every trial we go through. So, in closing, we have looked at how we are to respond to trials with joy, the reason for our trials, to strengthen and test our faith in God, and last, the result of our trials, to make us perfect and entire, wanting nothing. When I faced the death of Rod and Beth, I didn't realize that God was using it to test my faith and trust in Him, to make me become more like Christ. I kept asking God, why? Why did you let this happen? Why couldn't it be someone else who I don't know? And I still don't know all the whys, but as the time has passed since that day, I've learned to say as Job has said, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And looking back on all the other hard times in my life, when I couldn't see a purpose or a plan for what God was doing, I've realized that those are the times that God has taught me the most about trusting Him. We can trust Him. We can have confidence in Him that He is in control of everything. So perhaps this evening, you're going through a trial that may seem insurmountable, or maybe you'll soon be facing something or some kind of situation that will really test your faith, but don't give up. As 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, God will not send anything that is more than we are able to bear, as long as we place our faith and trust in Him. So if you're going through a trial, or when you do go through one, remember to ask yourself the right questions, to keep the right focus, and remind yourself that God is all-powerful, God is all-wise, God is all-loving, and God's ultimate goal in our lives is to make us more like Jesus Christ in our thoughts, attitudes, actions, and words. If we do this, if we remind ourselves of these four things about God and ask ourselves the six focus questions, then we'll be able to choose to respond to trials God's way. Or as James says, to count it all joy and when we fall into diverse temptations, so that we will become perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We can respond to trials God's way. Would you stand with me this evening? Troy, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?